You take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 to 7. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Let's pray. Our Father, what use are words on the page unless your Spirit plants them in our hearts? Lord, we are in need of you this morning to hear from you. And we pray, Lord, as you have said, that your word will accomplish its purpose. Lord, may it accomplish its purpose in us this morning, that we would receive it, not just as words on the page, but as the living word of God, so that we may feed upon it and we may walk by its light, rejoicing all the way. We pray your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've started our little series within a series where we're doing this 8-part set of sermons where we take a sermon for each attribute listed in these verses, and we're doing this within our greater series on 2 Peter. Last time we talked about the first attribute, which was virtue. Peter says that once we have faith, the gift of faith given to us by the grace of God, we are to make every effort to supplement that faith. Faith is never intended to stand alone. It is to be added to be supplemented. So God intends that once we come to a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he intends for us to get to work. As Paul says elsewhere, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We are to press on. We are to leave the past behind. We are to put off lies and put on truth. He tells us to keep going, to endure, to persevere, to grow, to be disciplined and discipled in the faith. All of these things are the task and the calling of the Christian. And this is the same message here. Peter says, make every effort. We can't be lazy about these things. God intends for us to learn and grow, and that through effort. Laziness and apathy are not attributes. For those who are in the faith, believers, we are to make every effort to supplement our faith with these things that are listed here for us. Last time we had virtue, today we'll be looking at knowledge. We are to add knowledge. Now, one aside before we get to that, it's often argued that in these verses there is a logical progression to the attributes, and we are to add them in the order that they are listed. You may have heard that before. And at first glance, that would appear to be the case. And it says, we add virtue to our faith, and then to our virtue, we are to add knowledge, and to our knowledge, we add self-control, and so forth. So there seems to be some sort of logical progression here. And in a sense, you can see it that way. I don't think that's a problem, but I also don't think that's exactly what Peter is doing. Here's what I mean. Look at the last item on that list. It's love. We are to add love to our brotherly affection and then to all the rest. Okay? But back up a little bit in that list, and you'll see that we are to add patience as well. Well, we know from 1 Corinthians 13 that patience is an attribute of love. Love is patient. So is Peter saying that when he tells us to add patience, is he saying that at that point we are to add patience devoid of love? Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? And then later on, we are to add brotherly affection, but don't love yet. Just brotherly affection for now. Is that what he's saying? It doesn't quite make sense. However you read this list, you have to recognize there's an awful lot of overlap between these attributes. You don't wait to love your neighbor until you have mastered knowledge. If that was the case, no one would love their neighbor. You love him now while you work at growing in knowledge and godliness and all the rest. There's a lot of overlap, and while there may be some progression here that we can find, the main thrust of the passage is that we are to work at adding all these things to our faith. That's the point. Love doesn't come last in the life of the Christian. So as we go through this list, we're going to be looking at adding all these things to our faith in a holistic manner, growing in maturity, without worrying too much about trying to figure out the progression. Does that make sense? We're on the same page? Love shouldn't be the last thing a Christian adds to his faith. That at least shouldn't be controversial. All right, so knowledge. Today we're talking about knowledge. We are to add knowledge to our faith. So what does that mean? What kind of knowledge are we talking about? What are we looking for? At first glance, it may seem obvious that we need to add the knowledge of God to our faith, and that would be correct. That's good. But then we remember that, well, the demons have that knowledge too. They know that there is one God, and they believe it, and they tremble in fear of that fact. In some ways, they know better than we do, for we do not always fear God. So the demons have a certain knowledge of God. Is that what Peter wants of us? To know what the demons know, and that's the knowledge that we're after? Well, obviously not. We're not supposed to emulate demons. If someone asks you this afternoon what you learned from the sermon, you could say, the pastor said we're not supposed to act like demons. I think we can accept that as a fair lesson. The knowledge that Peter is talking about is much deeper than that. It's not just the knowledge that there is one God, although that's a good thing to know. There's more. So today we're going to look at what this knowledge is, what it looks like, what makes it the kind of knowledge that we're supposed to make every effort to add to our faith, what it is. So I'm going to give you three things, three sources of knowledge that all work together to give us the kind of knowledge that we need. And remember, as we go through these three things, we are told to make every effort to do it. It isn't just supposed to stay up here. We are to make every effort. So we want to take these three things, and then we want to make every effort to attain to them. The first one, we already talked about last time, so we won't spend too much time on it today, but our first source of knowledge is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We have learned from Peter that the Word of God is sufficient for all things pertaining to life and godliness. We know that through the Word, the man of God can be equipped for every good work, lacking nothing. That's a big deal. We don't need other sources of knowledge for life and godliness for every good work. We have sufficiency in the Scriptures. That is massive. The Word is our sufficient source. It is here that we learn who God is, what He says, what He wants of us, what His will is, and by this Word, we can be transformed, renewed in our minds. Why? So that we can discern the will of God. So that we can know what is good and perfect, that which is pleasing to Him. It's our lamp, our lantern, a light unto our path. It's our authority and our guide. We obey it. Now that is a very different kind of knowledge than demons have, isn't it? That's very different. It's not that kind of knowledge. It's an obedient knowledge. It's not just academic facts that even the demons know. We are to have a personal knowledge of Christ. As we go through these sermons, I will be tossing out some scripture references that we won't look at because there's a lot of them. But they're in your homework papers. I encourage you to take some time between each sermon to go look those verses up. Listen to the sermon again. You can pause it and follow along those scriptures. So we are to have a personal knowledge of Christ. Christ who is the embodiment of knowledge. Colossians 2, 2 to 3. It's the kind of knowledge that brings grace and peace. 2 Peter 1, 2. It is tempered and guided by love. 1 Corinthians 3, 2. If I have all knowledge but I don't have love, it doesn't do me any good. This knowledge that we're after is tempered and guided by love. It's the type of knowledge that sets you free. John 8, 32. And it's in alignment with the gospel. 1 Timothy 6, 20. That's the kind of knowledge we're looking for. So in short, this is what I just told you. The knowledge that we're looking for is based on faith. That's what all that just means, what I just said. It's based on faith. That is something that academics alone cannot do. That is something that demons cannot do. This knowledge is faith-based knowledge. Oh, that's something else entirely. That's different. That will change your life, won't it? It's a whole new realm that the bare facts know nothing about. Receive the word by faith, and you will find the knowledge that you need. That's what we want. That's what we're after. This knowledge is not to stand alone. It's to be added to something. It's to be added to our faith. It's not stand alone. It's not just facts. It's supposed to be added to faith. That's a proper understanding of the sovereign God who rules over all, who is worthy of worship. This is the way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. This is what we want. Knowledge that is built upon faith. If you have just bare knowledge of the facts, boy, you're going to hit a brick wall pretty quick. Because you won't know who God is. And it won't be long until you think he has done you wrong. It needs to be added to faith, built upon it. We want to make every effort to add this kind of knowledge to our faith, and then we will know him. So read your Bibles, yes, but read them through the eyes of faith. Then you will be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Good teachers from false teachers. You will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is worthy of our life's pursuit. Making every effort. This is transforming your mind so that you will know the will of God. It comes from his word. It is knowledge that is added to faith. That's what we want. The second source of knowledge that we have is discipleship. God has given us the gift of the church, the body, all the one another's that we read in his word. He has given us teachers and preachers, pastors, mentors, fathers and mothers, those who set an example worthy of imitation. We have brothers and sisters, those with gifts of wisdom and knowledge. We are not meant to be solitary in our growth. If you consider it just for a moment, you realize that God has put in your life, piles of people that he wants and expects you to learn from. There's a reason why he has formed his people into a body, into a group. One of them is so that we can learn off of one another. And we have all of these around us to help us. God does not intend for you to go it alone. God doesn't want, okay, catch this. God doesn't want you to ask questions that don't get answered. How's that? This is God's world, after all. That means questions have answers. And we need not be afraid of the questions. Ask away. You don't always get the answer you want. But in God's world, we have all that we need for life and godliness, don't we? That means there are answers to our questions. Now catch this. Sometimes the answer that you're going to get to your difficult question is only God knows. Only God knows. You know what? That is an incredible answer to receive. If it is the right answer, if that is the answer that only God knows, that is an amazing answer, because if it is the true one, then accepting that is going to teach you a number of things. Oh, this is good. It teaches you that there are limits to man's knowledge. Deuteronomy 29:29. It will teach you some humility before the Lord. It will teach you that you are not alone in not knowing things. You're not dumb. There are just things that mankind does not know. It's going to teach you that it's okay not to know certain things. That's okay. It teaches you that if God has not revealed that specific answer, it's not something you need to know, because he has given us all we need. It teaches you to let it go and trust him with it, because if you needed to know, he would have given it to you. It'll teach you contentment before the Lord. It teaches you to trust in the God of sovereignty, the God who is worthy of our worship, Isaiah 55, Romans 11. Only God knows is a deep well of truth and knowledge and can be rich theology and medicine for the soul if you add that knowledge to your faith. Sometimes the answer is God only knows. And if you would pause to receive it, adding that knowledge to your faith, you will find strength in a trial that just 5 minutes ago you didn't have. It's an amazing answer. And how much better to receive all of that than just to walk away sadly because, oh, no one knows anything. There's no answer to my question. And to reject the answer that God has given. Sometimes God says, I'm not telling you that. The future, for example. He doesn't tell you what's coming next. We don't know. There's a lot we don't know, and there's a reason why he has done that. And when we are humbled before the Lord and receive that, oh, we can have confidence when we add that knowledge to faith. Without faith, it'll drive you crazy, and there'll be frustration. But there's so much to learn from those secrets of God when we don't know the specifics. These secrets of God can be some of our greatest teachers. Learn to trust him. To rest in him, to know that he is good and that he does you no wrong. Apply that truth to the deep challenge when you think he has done you wrong. And you realize he hasn't, but I don't know the answer. What does that do to your faith? Add that knowledge to your faith and you will have strength to endure, not just strength, but the joy will start to come because you have come to know him. Then on the flip side, sometimes when you ask a question, there is a specific answer. And sometimes there is someone who is willing to share that answer with you. Young moms, you have been given older moms who have been instructed by God to teach you, to help you learn how to love your husband and love your children, Titus 2, 3 to 5. Young men, you have been given older men who are to teach you how to have self-control. How to be a man, how to take responsibility for those whom you love, to take dominion and stand in your generation. Kids, you have parents. All too often when we are struggling, we walk right by all these God-given helps, and in our solitude, we begin to forget that we have been saved. Verse 9, we forget the salvation of our God. And instead of adding knowledge to our faith, what we do is we add our willful ignorance to our doubt. And instead of fruitfulness, we're miserable and barren. We need one another. God has given us an abundant supply. Look around you. The covenant we make as members of Cornerstone Bible Church binds us together in real ways. It's not a game. So are you taking advantage of his gifts? And if not, what's stopping you? Perhaps you're not sure who to ask for help, where to start, what to do. Some people are too afraid to ask for help. Some are too afraid to offer it, thinking they have nothing. It's just me. What do I know? Some are too proud to ask for help, think that they can do it on their own. There's a whole host of reasons why we don't press in, why we don't make every effort to pursue knowledge in this way. And we do it to our own detriment. Listen, you don't show your great strength by going about and doing it all on your own, being that sole survivor. That doesn't show strength. That shows a weakness and an immaturity in what God has given us in the gift of one another. It's not just good that we bear one another's burdens. It's necessary. God hasn't given me every gift, but he's given me you. And all together we have what we need. We want to make every effort. And yes, of course, I know that mentors don't always get it right. I know that. Imagine my surprise growing up thinking that pastors have it all figured out and then becoming one. That was a letdown. No, it's not a perfect source of knowledge, but it is a legitimate one. It's real. God has given it to his people. To ignore this blessing because it isn't perfect is not wise, it's foolish. God has given us his word, which is perfect, and he has given us one another to help us grow in that word. So, if this is something you want to learn more about, how to do it, how to receive it, Lord willing, we will look more in detail on how it's done at the March Men's and Women's Nights to expand on what we're learning here together. Let's make every effort. Let's do it together. Let's learn. Overcoming our fears and inhibitions and learn to press into one another and grow in this knowledge of God. Let me just give you a few verses to drive this point home, how good it is. Worthy of our time. A few verses from Proverbs. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. What is that you want? Makes you wonder, who am I spending time with? With the wise or with fools? Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not meet words of knowledge. Lord willing, we will look more in detail at this in the upcoming men's and women's nights as we press in and we learn to make every effort for these attributes. All right. Third source of knowledge. Third source of knowledge that we want to make every effort toward is suffering. It's suffering. The suffering of the trials of this life are some of the most powerful teachers that you are ever going to have. That's true. But remember, the knowledge that we're looking for is knowledge that is added to faith, with faith being the foundation. There's no inherent godliness in suffering. Pain itself doesn't produce righteousness just on its own. We don't seek pain in that way. But when suffering is coupled with faith, endured by faith, received by faith, walked in the light of faith, well, then it does produce righteousness, doesn't it? Yes, it does. From that homework sheet in your bulletin, I'm going to highlight just some verses. Things to look up. James 1, verse 2. Have joy in trials because they grow your faith. That hardship, that suffering. Receive it by faith, and you're going to grow. Romans 5, 3-5, suffering leads to perseverance, character, and hope. I want all three of those in my life, but I don't want suffering. Well, the Lord tells us how to grow in perseverance, in character, and in hope. Matthew 5, 11-12, you are blessed when you suffer for Christ. And then look them up. 1 Peter 1, 6-7, 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10, Hebrews 12, 11, 1 Peter 4, 12-13, 2 Corinthians 4, 17-18. The Bible is full of the blessing inherent in suffering when it is received by faith. And we want to make every effort to add this kind of knowledge to our faith, and sometimes it's done through suffering. Often. What does Paul say? I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what I want. I want to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. That's his desire. I have exactly zero desire to suffer in my life. And here Paul is like, I want to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings. Not just suffering for no reason. Suffering in faith for him. So we must not waste our suffering. You can waste it. You can waste it all by being angry or bitter and resentful, thinking God has done you wrong, and all your suffering, all that is there is lost. God has prepared good deeds in advance for us to do. And in your suffering, in your trial, you say, oh, here's a good deed that I can do. I can trust in my God. He has given me something. This is a jewel in my path. Or is it, oh no, I'm suffering. What you think about it is going to change what you do with it. And when we think rightly, when we have knowledge that is added to faith, then we grow and we know him more deeply. This is hard. But he is there. There is a fellowship with Christ in suffering that you can't find anywhere else. He is there. We're after the knowledge that isn't just academic, but is faithful, experienced, known in the true biblical sense. We're not just to recite facts with our lips, but to taste them and know them, taste and see that the Lord is good. This kind of knowledge comes through not just reading and thinking, but living and experiencing, adding to faith. Suffering well is a major source of knowledge in the discovery of the surpassing power of God's grace over our trials. I think I can't overcome this next trial. It's going to crush me. And yet by faith it hasn't crushed me. And I've come to know God a little better. And I rejoice that his grace was enough for me. That's knowledge you can't buy. So let us not run from our difficulties nor give in to fear. But we face them and we see them for what they really are. Trials under the hand of your loving Heavenly Father who turns all of it for your good. He does you no wrong. None. He restrains even the pain so that you will not have more than you can endure. Do you believe that? Do you know that he has done you no wrong, nor will he? And the promise of coming through to the other side, firm in the faith with a better knowledge of God, a harvest of fruitfulness, righteousness, and joy. We need to learn to see our sufferings in the light of God's word. This is hard. This is so hard. Why do you think Peter says, make every effort? He says that because it's hard. If it was easy, he would have said, make a reasonable effort now and then, you'll be okay. That's not what he says. Make every effort. There is purpose and there is promise in knowing God through suffering. So how are you doing then in your trials? Do you receive them as from the Lord? Considering them a joy because you know that by his power you will overcome. That's knowledge coupled with faith. I know that this will not defeat me. I know that God's grace is sufficient and by him I will overcome. That's knowledge added to faith, and you will, and there will be joy even as the tears flow. There will. Make every effort. Am I thankful in and for my trials? This is hard. Easier said than done, and yet there it is. And what will we do with such a call upon our lives? Will we continue to respond to trials with fear or with bitterness or with despondency, that is, without faith? Or will we seek to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, knowing that when it is time, he will lift us up? He has promised. Will we seek him in the trial, his will, and his sufficient grace for us? One of the great lessons of life is how to not waste your suffering. Learning that lesson will require making much effort. But always remember, that effort comes with a promise. It doesn't stand alone. Just try. And maybe things will go okay in the end. No, it comes with a promise. Here's where faith gets activated. That God will see you through. He will care for you. He does not enjoy afflicting his children. But if necessary for a little while, he leads us through the valley in order to know him better. And he rescues his children. When the trial is over, it's over. Discipline is painful. But the promise is that it will yield. It will yield. Thus saith the Lord. It will yield and it will give up its power and yield to a harvest of righteousness. Hear the word. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 34, 19. And sometimes we don't know how, and we say, God only knows. And that's an amazing answer to receive. In 2 Peter, knowledge is of a certain kind, not academic, not demonic. For Peter, if knowledge is not fruitful, it's not yet knowledge. We're not there yet. He says that having these things, knowledge being one of them, will keep you from being unfruitful. So the result of true knowledge is fruitfulness. That's the kind of knowledge that Peter's talking about. Knowledge based upon faith will lead to fruitfulness. Fruits of the Spirit, what are they? That's where it's headed. Knowledge that is added to faith, and it will be fruitful, teaching you to know God, His will, teaching you to reject false teachers and their teaching. It leads to hope and joy, steadfastness in the storm and through the night. Leads to power, at which point it becomes the kind of knowledge that we're after, fruitful. I know Him. I share in the fellowship of His suffering. The blessing of knowing God in this way. Oh, it's frightening to think of suffering, isn't it? And yet, the glory that is coming makes it light and momentary, hardly worth mentioning. We need to remember, add that knowledge to our faith. That's what we want. And the glory of God in our great joy is the result. That's where we go. So to recap, the knowledge that we're after is to be added to faith. It is properly sourced and it is experienced. There's the recipe. Knowledge is added to faith. It is properly sourced and it is experienced. That's what we want. On the foundation of faith, we receive the word, we receive the fellowship, and we receive the suffering that was promised to the saints. That's what we get. That's what we're in for. That equals true knowledge of God. And on the other side of that is joy unspeakable. You have no idea. I have no idea how good it's going to be. But it's going to be so good that all this suffering was going to pale in comparison. We will say, that was nothing. That was nothing. On this side of it, we can say, how can that be? How can this be so small? Add the knowledge of the glory of God to your faith, and you will know Him. This is life, and the goal isn't to get the easiest version of it that you can. This takes making every effort, and it comes with a promise that the Lord reveals Himself to all who seek Him. Hebrews 11, 6, Jeremiah 29, 13. This we want to learn and study and practice, making every effort, doing it together, because it's hard to go it alone, and we're not meant to go it alone. So over the next number of weeks, in your bulletins now, you're going to find the homework. As we seek to add knowledge to our faith, here's what you can do. Think of three trials that you're dealing with right now. You could probably come up with more. Pick three pressing trials that you're dealing with right now, whatever they are. Relational, physical, spiritual, financial, whatever. Write them down. Write them down. And then see them through the eyes of faith. Ask God to help you, not just to get away from them, not to just escape, but to learn what He has for you, that you would grow in knowledge and not waste them. Commit those trials to the Lord and humble yourself before Him to release you when it is time, not before. When the work is done, when you're not what you were anymore, and He has done that work in your heart, and then He will release you. Pray for that. Not before. Commit to learn, not escape. Then come to the men's and women's night in March. We will seek to learn more about how to disciple and how to be discipled. Let's learn together. And then look up the verses listed on the bottom. There's a whole bunch. Pick two of them. Pick two of them to memorize. Write them out on a card and put them up on your fridge, your bathroom mirror. If you come to my office, you'll see I have one sitting by my desk. I have one verse on my bathroom mirror that I read every morning when I get up. Pick two of them. Seek to hide them in your heart. Commit them to memory. And then, the same as last time, read your Bibles. Don't make time to read your Bible. Read your Bible and then make time for everything else. And may God grow us in the knowledge of Him for His glory and for our joy. The night will end and the morning will come. And it will be the best ever. So let us press on together until that great morning when our faith becomes sight and we will know even as we are known. Let us make every effort together, and Lord, haste the day. Let's pray. Our Father, you have called us to yourself, and you have shown us the way forward. Lord, we long to be a faithful people in all of it, not turning aside, but together stepping into the light fully, to know you, to love you, and declare your surpassing worth over all that is here, that we experience, that we suffer, and that we love. Lord, would you open our eyes to see your glory, that we would know it, that we would love it, rejoice in it, bearing one another's burdens, marching forward through the valleys, knowing that you are good and you shepherd us all the way through. May we leave here this morning with fresh strength and grace from you to have courage and hope, not shirking from what you have given us to do, but with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, may we love you and that love one another, and in that grow in maturity in Christ. We pray your help in Jesus' name. Amen.